Okay, we're doing the Parsha Falosa, the ending of the Pesach Sheni. So, in Periketh, Falosa. So, God commanded Moshe, God told Moshe to command them. This was the second year after they had left Mitzrayim. It was the second year. Of course, the first year they had brought the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Interestingly enough, it turns out that this was the only year in which they brought the Korban Pesach in the Midbar. In all the subsequent years that they were in the Midbar, the 40 years of the wandering, they didn't bring the Korban Pesach until they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Then they had to bring it. Then it was one of the it was part of the system. It's not entirely clear what the reason is, why there was a separate tzivui to do the Pesach to Melado. If indeed this was supposed to be a mitzvah l'doros, which is indicated in Shemos, all parshas that it's l'doros, and your children will ask, what's the reason? Amaytam zera Pesachu, and so forth. So it's clear that this is intended to be a mitzvah l'doros. So why it is that there was a special tzivui to do it now, I'm not sure. Who would be Ramban on Pasuk Aleph? B'shana Hashemus. This is towards the end of the first paragraph. Yodas Eloseinu lo nog of a midbar ela b'shana zu b'vad. According to the Chachamim, they did not do the Pesach in the midbar except this year alone. Official on Molu by Midbar, because they did not do the Mila in the Midbar. Noisa Mila Sakharam Bavadim Makevas Hassan. And Mila Sakharam and Avadim was Ma'akim from Pesach. So this is where the Ramban. Yisaki and Jerusalem from Mitzvah Zu. It seems that there was a need for this Mitzvah. Bavushalo and Stavu Mitzvah Basiyas Pesach Doros. Ela Ba'aret. We mentioned before that they were already commanded in Pesach Doros. But the Ramban is saying, that's true, but that's only when they reached the land. So the Pesach Doros that they had received, the command about, was only when they would enter the land. It says, "V'hoyek yisavo el ha'aretz." It would be when you come to the land, "Hashayidin Hashem lachem." "Hashadiver, yishmartem esavo lehazos." So for whatever reason, it seems, it's important that this mitzvah, even though it was a mitzvah of Doros, but there was something unique about it in that it was entirely dependent upon being in the land. The Odeh Marsham, Vayot Yibicha Hashem Al Eretz Haknani, etc. The Avata Azavoda Hazos Bachodesh Hazer. It's another confirmation that whatever tzivu they had pertaining to it was only after they entered the land. The Achshav Ratzak Hashem Baruch Hu, the tzivu Sheyasu Osay. Now it was the will of God at this particular time that they should do it now. Today, Shetia. So that there should be a remembrance of their geula, and the miracles that were done for them, and their fathers. Netat lahem and avos haroim of man, which was transferred from the fathers to serve to the children. So the name of man, the name of Dorachro. The idea of transmitting what the first generation saw from the next generation. Alright, so the Ramban is establishing a very significant point, and that is that the mitzvah of Doros is contingent on Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. But so that therefore, according to that, so they'd really be put upon it. They wouldn't have to bring it at this time. So that's why there was a need to bring it specifically at this time. This would seem to be different than the view that he cited. That is, according to the view of the Chazal, the reason they didn't bring it was because of the problem of Arelos, because they didn't do Mila. According to the Ramban, it wasn't commanded at all, except in Israel. So whatever the case may be, as to why it was only at this particular time. where we can proceed anyway, because that's not really what I want to focus on. So then you have the table and the Arba Asayom, the Chodesh Hazeh, Ben Harbayim, Tassel Oseb Moado, Chokotom, with the Chodesh Bada Tassel Oseb. And then it says that the Moshe communicated to the Ben Israel from the Pesach. And then they did it, then describe the fact that they did the Pesach in accordance with everything that, that God had commanded. Now, Pasuk Vav. Vayihi Anashim, and there were men, Asher Hoyu Tumeyim Lenefesh Adam, who were Tumei Lenefesh, Tumas Meis, which disqualified a person from being in the Tumei. Lo Yachlu Lasos HaPesach Vayom Ahu, and they couldn't do the Pesach on that day. Vayikavu Lepnei Moshe, Lepnei Aaron, Vayom Ahu, and they approached before Moshe and Aaron on that day. Vayomru Anashim Rahima Elov, and these men said to him, Anachti Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, with Tamei Lenefesh, Tumas Meis. Lomani Dora, why should we be diminished, so to speak? Why should we leave out? To be wrong implies like kalamosif doreya, sometimes too much is no good, you lose. It implies a certain type of loss. Levilti hakrav is karban Hashem mo'ado. By not being allowed to bring the karban Hashem in its appointed time, besoch b'nei Yisrael, together with b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem Moshe, and Moshe said to them, imdu v'yeshma. Stand and listen, my Yisrael ad Hashem lachem, what God will command concerning you. Now, again, a bit of a side point, what we learn out from this very pasuk, imdu v'yeshma, very important point here. For anybody else to speak that way, it would be inappropriate, it would be like diving. That is, the assumption is, okay, good question, I'm going to communicate with God and I'll get the answer. That implies complete confidence that the person has a link with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But it is from this passage that Rambam quotes when he explains the difference in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was of a completely different kind. It was not the Mara, essentially. In terms of the substance of the Nevuah, it was not a vision, which then had to be interpreted. As we see, the Torah doesn't always describe it that way. Sometimes the Torah describes the Nevuah in a manner, not in the manner in which it occurred, but in terms of the meaning. For example, when God told Abraham to take his son and go a distance of 3 days and then to sacrifice his son to God, that's the content, that's after the interpretation. That is not the manner in which it was received. It was not received in terms of those words, it was received in terms of the prophetic images which he subsequently interpreted. They see sometimes the Torah will record the vision of it, and without the interpretation, as in the case of Pharaoh, or as in the case of Yosef, that the bundles were bowing down to his bundles, and so on. And then it requires interpretation. But all Nevi'im, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Nevuah that they received was in a form which had to be decoded, so to speak. Except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Tel Tel Dababah. But Moshe Rabbeinu received the words directly, and there was no need, there was no images that had to be subsequently interpreted. But in addition to that, Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level where he was always in touch with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He did not have to go into a separate prophetic state. Therefore, there were, he says, among the various Levian, there was no Navi that was in constant communication with God. Some had more prophetic experiences, some had less, some only had it once. Because everything depended upon their capacity, their level, and so forth. And we have this naive notion that person is a prophet, so that's it, he shows a message from God. That's not the case. So you see from here, Imdu v'Eshma, that he was confident, and he told them to just stand by and make a good answer, which he would not have said if he did not think he was in constant contact with God. Ayyadabra Hashem Moshe Leymar, and God spoke to Moshe. Dabra B'nai Yisrael Leymar, speak to the B'nai Yisrael. Ish Ish Kiyya Tomei L'Nefesh, any man who's Tomei L'Nefesh, O B'derech Hachoka, or Derech Hachoka, Lachem, O D'Rosechem, the Osa Pesach L'Rashem, he can do the Pesach L'Rashem. So God said that they can do the Pesach, but B'Chodesh Hasheni, the second month, which is Iyar, the Avra Osa Yom, 14th day, the same 14th, just like Nisan is the 14th, Ben Arbayim, in the afternoon, Yasser Osa, they shall make it, Al Matos Umroron Yafuri, they will eat it together with matzah and morah. Lo yashiru v'menu ad boker. Alright, so basically the same laws that apply, that you can't leave all them until the morning. The etzem lo yishkubo, they can't break the bones of it. The chol chukach ha-pesach yashu also. And in accordance with all the laws of the Pesach, they shall do it. Yerisha shahuto v'derach v'hoya. Any person who did not have any of these disqualifications, that is to say, he was tahor, and he was not distant, he was not in Derech HaPesach. V'chod Allah from the Pesach, and he did not do it, he was planning from doing it. V'nichasa nefesh ahi me'amah, so the soul shall be cut off from his nation. The Kerman of Hashem, lo hikriv m'lago, because the Kerman of Hashem, he did not bring at his appointed time. Cheto yisa ha'yish ahud, he shall carry his sin. Alright, then it mentions that the Ger, the Yosef Pesach, he also shall make the Pesach. Kuka Achas Yerachem, the Ger, the Yosef Pesach. Alright, so that's basically the Parsha. This is the Parsha of Pesach Shein. Yeah, the question, one of the questions that I'm raising is, is it just an intrinsic part of the season, of the Pesach Shein? That is to say, is this being given because of this problem of these 10 people? People have a problem, so they couldn't bring the Pesach. So as a result of that, God said, okay, we're now have Pesach Shein. That's very difficult. Why would God's system, which is a divine system, which is the perfect system, change? Are we to understand that a change is made simply because there were people who had a problem? Or also, it's going to be the case with virtually every mitzvah. Whenever you have a mitzvah, and certain conditions are connected to it, so then obviously a little bit people will be excluded, but to Israel. But take a look at Rashi. Rashi, I'm dying. Love and go. See, another question that emerges is, what exactly was their question? What was their question? Were they asking for permission to bring the carbon? In spite of the fact that they were telling them, what were they asking? They didn't know, at that point they did not know about the phenomenon of Pesach Shein. So what exactly were they asking? What kind of a question is this? Woman and God. What do they mean? Were they asking for permission to bring the carbon due to their circumstances? With regard to this, as to what exactly they were asking, it seems that there's an argument between Sfino and Rashi. Sfino and Zion. The Sfino and Zion is based upon the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah that Chotei and Abay asked the question, you know, why were they Tanaimers? How did they become Tanaimers? So, there's two opinions. One holds that there were Tanaimers mitzvah. There was a Mace mitzvah, and they became Tanaimers, they were Mace mitzvah. The other holds that there was a Nosei and one Rosh Yosef. That they really were in a situation where they had no choice. Because we know that the Asaf and Yosef, what? You know, they took the bones of Yosef. So that was carried in an aron, in a coffin. So whoever was carrying the Aron Yosef was coming. So that's what the Gemara says. I'm just going to go to the Or HaChaim. He brings this down, and he presents a method of understanding the question. Oh, we'll do the Or HaChaim on Pasuk Zayin. Lo and go. He says, Torah Chodas, Chaynas HaNashim. The Maimah, Lamed Yor. We have to understand the reasoning of the people. And when they said Lamed Yor, now just from this itself, that's exactly what we're saying. You know, like it's necessary for us to understand what were they thinking. Hello, Talon, Kisriyan. Yanu, Anach, Kisriyan. They themselves provided the answer to their own question. And they said, what's the name? And the halacha is that you can't bring it to them. So what kind of question is it? They knew the answer. It's like a Kohen, a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you know, saying that I'm Tamei, and I can't do the Avodah Shem HaKippurim. So what can I do? And that's the answer. You can't do it. That's why they backed out of backup. The best of their ability, they cracked out of backup coin. In case the coin gutter would become telling, for some reason, couldn't do it. But if he did become telling, he throws, that's not lucky. He's qualified. So he says, you understand, Imam of Akshan, Litan Lan Torah Hadasha. What were they asking? To give a new Torah. So Eli, perhaps, he was tried. He suggested that because they become tamei with rishus, they ain't among the other tamei meis mitzvah. Well, those who come to the said it was a meis mitzvah, so that the mitzvah had no choice but to come tamei. They ain't among the other no say alon or shal yosef, or the one who says that they were involved in carrying the aron of yosef, which is a mitzvah. They thought that God would judge them, would consider them to be like Tehorim. Now, of course, that's not strange. It's coming. But he goes on to explain. The Kishem Shemotzinu has to find himself in my anxiety and Allah. She is Rata Hashem. Asal Sapesach to Tumor of the Sibur. It is included that God accepts the performance of the Pesach. If the tzibur is coming, the robot tzibur is coming, is that Tano, therefore they raised the issue, they argued, Lama Nigar, the Chibish Filsha Asur Mitzvah, you Nigarian become Tafa. Meaning to say that was their question. But you see that there are certain exceptions with regard to the issue of being Makar Batumah, the Ritzel factor. So, as you see, sometimes it's not anybody's fault, it's the Seabird. Rova Seabird. So there is an exemption, so to speak, in terms of the factor of Tumah. So they were saying that the same thing over here. That's what the Sforno says. Take a look at the Sforno. Lomri Gara. Me'acha Shemesa Tumah Seinu L'Dvar Mitzvah. Since our Tumah was the Dvar Mitzvah, Lama Tia Doleris Avera. Why should this be the cause of an Avera? The only thing that's a little bit difficult about that is that it's not clear that it would be an Avera. Why is it an Avera? And now we get to the question that always bothered me. And the David referred to it. Which is to say that once the Torah establishes a system, and with regard to virtually any mitzvah, there's all types of conditions, and there's disqualifications. Now, if a person is disqualified from doing a mitzvah, any mitzvah, even if we're talking about something that's significant, it's fasting, and they'll kill it. Because of medical reasons. It's a danger of life and death. And he's obligated to eat. So then, it wouldn't make sense for somebody to say that long ago, that he should be allowed to fast the next week. Because that's not lawful. Honest Rahman Patrick. And that's the system. And that person is not Nigara, that person is not considered to be a lower level. A person is a person who was unable to fast because of health. Because of Sakkot. is he in Gora? I'm mentioning this point because within the system, again, the person who follows the system for the right reasons, because he wants to follow the Yitzhak Hashem, and that's the halakha, there wasn't his fault, he was tamei. So then what's the, why is this point I'm mentioning Avera? Then it'll be diminished. He'll do it next year. Wait till next year. The answer would be, or the same thing that you have by Sukkah, rain, whatever. So you don't get filthy around the whole time. So you never go on the Sukkah, except the first night in the Chodesh. So according to some Yishanim, you're supposed to eat even if it rains the first night. But according to the others, you don't eat rain. At any point, the first night is no different than any other. So then, what do? So you wait the next year, or whatever. You don't change the Torah because you can't. And you're not in violation. You're not in violation. Take a look at Rashi now, love me, God. Everybody is trying to work out what their question was. Amalan, he said to them, "Ain kachim kriyim the Torah." Now Rashi is reconstructing the dialogue. So Moshe, that Moshe answered them, because the Torah doesn't necessarily include all the dialogue. Just to be clear, that you can't bring kachim in the state of Torah. Amru lo, they said to him, "Yizarek hadam aleinu b'kohanim tahorim." Let the zrikas hadam, let kohanim tahorim, yizarek hadam over us, for us. The ayochel ha basar tahorim, and let the basar be eaten by tahorim. That was their shayla. Is there a way around the tumah factor? Can we still get the kingdom of the carbon in this manner? So that this becomes more of a halakha kind of a question. Where Rashi unravels it, it's like a halakha phenomenon. And then Moshe said, "Imdu v'yashma." The Talmud ha-mustrach was slow with the rabbi. Like a Talmud who was confident that he would hear the answers in the Rebbe. Ashrei yavod isha, fortunately, a person who was born to a woman, a human being, shekach mustrach, who had such confidence. The Kogiman shayarota, that whatever he wanted, may madaber mashkina, to speak to the shkina. The point now is not really going through all of the intricacies of what the question was. We have to have a greater understanding of all the laws that pertain to it. For my purpose, I'm merely trying to show you that either according to the approach of the Sforno and the one we mentioned in the Arachayim, it wasn't so much halacha. I mean, it had to do with halacha, but it had to do with waiving the disqualification of tumah, because of the fact that the tumah was brought about through a mitzvah. According to Rashi, that wasn't the way it is, but rather it was more of a halakhic phenomenon. Is there a way to get around? Is there any way that one can obtain the kiyum if he's in a state of tumah by this mechanism which they describe? The purpose of it today is not to really define what their question is. That's not what I'm trying to do. Because no matter what their question was, I only raised it, I just wanted to show you that you have to deal with it, that if you just read the story and they're asking a question, it just seems preposterous to ask a question like that. Well, like you see, they need the answer, that's the answer. So what would you ask? You can't ask a question like that. But I couldn't eat matzah this year because I had a certain illness. So can I eat a month from now, whatever. There's nothing to ask, that kind of question. So you see that there's a basis for that question. However, what I want to focus on is why this mitzvah is different than any other mitzvah. You don't find this phenomenon in any other case, where, as I said, you're going to have disqualifications in virtually every mitzvah. To be with regard to fasting and then kippur, to be with avodah and the basic mitzvah, to be with anything. Any mitzvah has its disqualifications, and the overriding principle is that ono sukh manapatra. So that should be the end of the story. What were they concerned about? And if, in the case of ono sukh manapatra, you refrain, you just shove the alkasa, you don't do anything. Apparently there's something very unique over here, which would not apply at in other mitzvahs, because as I said, in every other mitzvah, But the person is disqualified. He's fucking, That's it. There's no diminish. There's no dull. And also, as he says, we'll do it next time. One thing I want to mention, and that is that Rashi at the end of Zion makes a point. And it was fitting for this parsha to be given to Moshe. Like the rest of the Torah. And when it says Zachu Elu, these persons, these people have a merit. Shetei Amar Adidayim, that it should be said to them. Shemagal Zon Skos, Adidayi Zaka. Because we always prefer, so to speak, we always bring out a Skos, something beneficial to Zaka. Now what is, what do you think means Rashi? In answer to a question that we raised originally. That is, was this parsha a reaction to the question, or was it really part of the Torah? From the very beginning. That's the Rashi's answer in that. That you shouldn't think that a new parsha was added to the Torah because people had a question. Really, he's saying it should have been said from Russia. That is, the parsha of Pesach Sheni should have been stated in the pedigree. Because that's part of the mitzvah. That Pesach can be brought at its original time, and then there's another phenomenon of Pesach Sheni. That was, God did not decide to make a change in the Torah because they had a question. It appears that way. So in terms of the way the parsha was stated, it was stated in conjunction with their question, because that's a skus, because apparently they had a good question. Which would indicate that they had a good question, are they back on? But their concern over here was justified. So as a reward, so to speak, or to make this point, that Magalga and Slipha Yubei Zakai, therefore the parsha was stated in conjunction with their question. But one should not think that the whole reason for Pesach Sheni is because a couple of people had a problem with him. Nobody knew the halacha at that point. Moshe didn't know the halacha. He said, undo the Esther. Then God revealed it to him. But I'm saying, when God revealed it to him, it wasn't as a response. But it was not. It wasn't even a propagation. It was more Torah. It was a continuation of the halacha pertaining to Pesach. Part of the carbon Pesach entails Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So up to this point, God had not told Moshe about Pesach Sheni. Had they not asked the question, would God have told him about Pesach Sheni? The answer is yes. So why is it being done in conjunction with their question? That's because of the separate principle of Magalgon. It's Chofa, Yudei Zaka. To summarize the question phase, the two main questions that should arise pertaining to this parsha is, first of all, that where do you find that a new mitzvah is introduced, because some people have a problem that they can't conform to the halacha requirements. That already has been answered by Rashi. As Rashi said, that this was not in response. This was the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, but it hadn't been given yet. Before God chose to give it at this point to associate it with their question, because apparently it was Zakai, they were meritorious. The second question would be, what was the nature of their question? As the Or HaChaim says, as the Or HaChaim says, they provide the answer, I'm not complaining, considering that's the answer. It's not a question, that's an answer, we're coming, so that's the halacha, you can't bring it to Tumah. So what exactly were they asking? Well, so far we have the Sforno, the Arachayim, basing themselves on the fact that there was a mitzvah, that maybe this should be an exemption. And you have Rashi there, there's a halacha there. But it brings out the necessity, in studying the parsha, the necessity of understanding what the question was. The question has to be a question. And they wouldn't be Zakai if they were asking a ridiculous question. And Moshe wouldn't say, into the asking. And then we have a third question as to why they're, what do they mean by Laman Udara? Why they were not content with the situation as it was. That is to say that there are going to be mitzvahs which you won't be able to perform due to halachic considerations, and they only say Amos Machana Patre. That's his Patre. Yet they continue to insist that there was some Nigara, that they would do that. And we don't say that by any other mitzvah. So what's unique about this particular mitzvah? That's a good question.
Just before you get into the point, that's a very important question. And to quiet further thought. I just treat it pretty much superficially. That is that you have to assume that they answer a question. A reasonable question. It may not be reasonable, but in the framework of halacha, what exactly would they ask? Like I was saying, if a person, whatever reason, is in a situation of danger, his whole job was to spend fighting at the front. So he's not going to ask, well, I had no shot, what can I do to make it up? You wait for next Shabbos or whatever. From the halacha standpoint, that's it. So that seems, that's a very short question. And you see that the Bruno addresses it by saying that since it was come here because of the Beis Mitzvah, so then they should be permitted to bring the carbon in a state of Tumah. That was their question. So it wasn't that they didn't know about Tumah. As the Chaim points out, they were saying it was Tumah. So they knew they just can't bring it to Tumah. But to put it at that, even at that level, is not really to understand it. Because you still don't understand why the fact that it's mitzvah should have any impact upon the prohibition of the beginning of the Kavan Pesach in the state of Tumah. So that's where we left it at. Obviously, we have to go into it deeper, in a deeper sense, to understand exactly the connection between Tumah and the exclusion, and then why this might be a reasonable taina. Obviously, with a reasonable taina. But that's what you said, into the Eshma. Okay, I just wanted to review that point and to say that it requires further analysis. At this point, we don't really understand it. We just see that the commentary, treated as a serious question. Okay, what we wanted to focus on, though, was that at all events, whatever their question was, essentially they were punters. And even the Sephardim said that the love of the Dara, that is, since we did a mitzvah, we shouldn't be involved, that should not be the cause of us being involved in an Aveira. And what's the Aveira? They're exempted or they're disqualified in Aveira. So the question we were focusing on is that on two levels. Not just on the level of their question, that this, Kav Pesach is being treated differently than all the other mitzvot, but even from the phenomena, that is to say that God did give an alternative opportunity for the Kav Pesach, for the person who was Tamei in Derech Chok. In other words, the answer to the question, how we bring it to Tumah, was really no. If you learn that that's exactly what they were asking, so the answer into the Eshma, that they should just stand by and wait for the answer. Or if that's what they were asking, then perhaps this should be an exception to the rule and we should be able to bring it. The answer was that no, you can't bring it. However, you can bring it on Pesach Sheni. So you have a phenomenon of Pesach Sheni. So that has to be, as we saw in Rashi, Pesach Sheni was not given as a response to their problem. Pesach Sheni was for Torah. Except, as Rashi says, that God chose to reveal it in context of their question, because of the cook. That the God was a cook while you made that guy. So apparently that also indicates that that was a very good question. It was a good request. It indicated something. But still in all, you'd have to explain what, even if you didn't have this question, I want you to understand that it's the phenomenon of type of change that requires an explanation too. Because if they wouldn't have asked this question, then this law would have been revealed by Moshe, like all the other laws. And then still you'd have the question would still be raised as to why this mitzvah is different, that two different opportunities, two different days are given. Because essentially it's because of the person coming into our program. And that you have to realize. That even without that question, the entire phenomenon of Pesach Sheni is connected to the issue of Tamei and Derech Rechoka. Because it's not like now, after the fact, after we have Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so basically we just choose. it's complicated. You know, you go through the Rambam's over there. We're not doing that right now, but it's a complex phenomenon. Somebody was amazed for Pesach Rishon, and he failed to bring it to Mazes. He has an opportunity now to bring it on Pesach Sheni. He won't get courage. If he brings it on Pesach Sheni. If he was Shogun to the Pesach Rishon, so then he could bring it to Pesach Sheni, but that's a different situation over there. I mean, there's a relationship between the two from a halakhic standpoint in religion. It is something of interest. But we're not going to do that right now. I told you to go to the Rambam. But it seems that the institution of Pesach Sheni, as I said, it's not just Tom that God decided to give you opportunities to have Pesach. No, I mean, Pesach Rishon is Pesach. But due to the fact that there is a problem of Tomei and Derech HaKoka, it's interesting because Derech HaKoka was not even included in the question. That would further reinforce the idea that Pesach Sheni was always part of Torah. Because Pesach Sheni incorporates Derech HaKoka. And their question was not about their problem is not Derech HaKoka. Their problem is Tumah. But in the Parsha, it includes two categories of people. One is Tomei, and the other is Derech HaKoka. So, the question would be, what is unique about Pesach, as opposed to any other thing? Okay? Now, let's take a look. I'm going to suggest an explanation. Again, I would say it's pretty much a general term, a general understanding. And, think about it. Hopefully, it's a general concept of what. Obviously, the answer would lie in the nature of Kavatata. There's something unique about Kavatata. So that's the approach, to try and see what is unique about Kavatata that differentiates it. That provides the basis. And if you're on the right track, so then once you take that step, then hopefully you find other facts which will be important. Sometimes an answer or an explanation goes through a certain developmental phase. You have to start. Now, what is the most striking feature about the mitzvah of Kavanah? Anybody? The most striking feature, I would say, is that it's an interesting kind of a mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah that was given to the Jews before Sina. What was the purpose of this mitzvah? That, I think, is what makes it unique. Because, on the one hand, the Korban Pesach is from Sinai, at Mitzvah in Krat Shalom. So now it's one of Taryag Mitzvot. But Taryag Mitzvot was not intended to go into effect until Sinai. So what was the reason that one of those Taryag Mitzvot should be given to them in the Triumph? What was the purpose of the Korban Pesach? Is one Mitzvot. Of the Tayyad, which was essential to the Tia of God. So it could be the entire Parsha is given to the Jews when they're in the triumph, and it's a prelude to the Yitzhiya. So, if you go through the whole story over there, you see this was given. On Chodesh Nisan, God gave a mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu and instructed them that on the 10th. There's certain elements, by the way, I'm not going into that right now. There's certain elements of the mitzvah. There's this, what we refer to as Pesach of Shayim, the Pesach that they brought from Shayim. And then there's Pesach Doros. And so Doros is the regular mitzvah of Pesach, which comes into effect after they receive the Torah. Oh, according to Rahman, the way he learns is that they were really. This mitzvah was Noah, he was Doros, and only one person is the last. And his answer, by the way, I went over that Ramban again, his answer as to the issue as to whether they kept it in the Midbar, why God commanded them in the second year to do the carbon testing. That was the question we dealt with yesterday, and that whole issue as to whether it was kept, carbon testing was kept in the Midbar or not. The Ramban's explanation is that Pesach, Karban Pesach, Midoros, was intended only once they entered the land. And of course, the Sukkot, that indicate that, that when you come to the land, and you'll see the Tavoda, and the children will ask you, and so on. And really, it's not Noah's Kutlar, Midoros. The only time it's really Noah's Kutlar, so to speak, is the Ryan, I want to use that term. However, it was God's will so that they keep it in the Midbar. And that, he says, was the cause of a specific situation. That there you had a transition from the original door, the original generation which had actually witnessed the miraculous phenomena, and they were to transmit this to the next generation. And of course then to the next generation. So therefore, when he learned this, was that the reason why God commands them in the second year, it's a very, you know, it's a beautiful explanation. But of course the question was, why does God command them in the second year? They already were given the mitzvah of Pesach. Why would God command them in the second year? So according to his explanation, it's because really, the mitzvah of Doros didn't take effect until they entered the land. But it was God's will that at this point in time they keep it even though it was not in the land because of the phenomenon of the transmission. Because it represents the mitzvah, the miracle that God performed. So God wanted it to be a continuous. Apparently there shouldn't be any break between the time that they occurred, the generation that witnessed it, and the time that they would enter the land, and then it would be known as the Doros. So, but there was a need for this feebly because the Midbar was basically Kutlar. So that's where they're not
mentioned. They only bought it once, right?
Well, we went through that discussion yesterday. That is one view. That's one view. As an Ramban discusses that.
But that would be a proof for what you're saying, because Rashi says it was a Gemnai that they only bought it once.
I'm sorry?
That could be a proof of what you're saying, because it was a
deny
that they only bought it once.
It was a what? It was a
deny,
what?
Deny. But they only bought it once. That's what Rashi says.
Yeah, well, it was always a
deny. Indicating that per se, that really they should bring it every year.
Right.
Meaning really should be that.
Now that's true. That's true, by the way. I think I'll hold on to that. Because when I give my explanation, I think it will support it. That's a good point. That's a good point. But that, as I said, if you go through the... Go to the Ramban. You are the Ramban on Pesach Sheni. He discusses this. And he takes up that, you know, all the different views. That view that they only kept it once. And then they didn't keep it in subsequent years because of Mila. That they didn't keep Mila and so forth. That view has its problems. But you're right, it is a Gnai. That's a good point. The Ramban, however, presents his own independent explanation, which I just stated, which is not in line with God. He quotes it. Each one of these views has difficulties. Okay, I wanted to get to the point. Let me pursue this point. What the uniqueness of the Karban Pesach is. Well, first of all, you see that it's really tied into the Geula. It would appear that because part of the... Oh, you're getting it. There were certain things that pertained to carbon specific land, but obviously did not pertain to specific dollars. For example, the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost. The Rukhim and Adam, to take from the gun and to sprinkle it on the doorpost, on the house, that you would eat there. And then, and that of course is tied into the Geula, the Avaiti Diyas, the Sama Lai Laja. We take the Kabbalah of the Ephraim, that's what you know, you say. The Adam, the Adeno, the Rechol Elohim Israel, Esher Shvatim Ani Hashem. The God, so to speak, obviously, will pass over, will pass through. Bahoy Adam, Lachem, 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 And this big key process, because the place is, the Gizdan has a significant path. The Gizdan will be Lachem La'ol. The youth will song on the houses that you are in. There are ECS at Dom, and I'll see the Dom, with Basachti Alechem, and I will skip over you. The Lo'iya Lachem Nega Hamashra, by Kosi Deret Shai. And there will not be the plague to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, it would seem from this, would it not, that the blood was essential. I don't mean obviously. We're not, this is a stated anthropomorphically. It doesn't mean that, you know, like a children on this, and how it is. That God needs to see the Dawn, or anything like that. Or the Dawn would stave off the destroyer. Yeah, that type of thing. You have to understand it conceptually. So, take a look at Rashi. Rashi will be for you for a time, and not for others. That's also interesting, because the sense that you get from the Hebrew Kippur as a child, you know, you just read it superficially. You get this sense of things that the blood is clearly on the outside, because the way it's presented is that whoever's coming over is going to see the Dawn. But you need to put it carefully. You have to read it carefully. So the Dawn Machemio will be for you. So the real, of course, God doesn't need the Dawn. So what's the purpose of it? The purpose is really for you, as an artist. So the Rashi says, he's teaching this, that the blood is on the inside, not on the outside, because it was supposed to function for you, for those who are in the house. Now, those of you who are ECF Adam, the Rashi addresses the question, how cold blood is upon us? Everything is known. And the Amra comes to but God says, see that you are okay in my mitzvah, because there I'm Yahweh, and I will skip over you. So it would seem from this, well, you have a son Magic Magic that it wasn't just found on this one. Hello? Yeah. Are you guys hearing me the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay. It would seem from this that it wasn't just found on this one, but it was essential to the whole being said. Because it says that the key element over here is not the Dom, there's nothing kind of magical, nothing physical. It's in the Rashi said clearly, the Ishi and Hatan means that I will give cognizance, so to speak. It's really an explanation as to what's going on, as to what's the phenomenon over here, that these people are being killed and these people aren't being killed. What's the differentiating factor? Obviously, it's not the Dom today, but it means that I'll differentiate. And those who are doing my mitzvot, I'll say. Those who are not, I'll kill. So that's the case in this is a person who did not do the mitzvah, so he would be like a mitzvah. You know, differently, he would be guilty. So you see that there is something very significant about this mitzvah. So let's take a look at Rashi. Also, as I said, you can study this on your own. The Ramban points out that there's a difference with regard to Pesach Yisrael and Pesach Doros. So the essential. Essentially, he says, like anything pertaining to how the korban has to do, the korban itself, the being pertaining to the chesed, so to speak, duchah korban, I think he calls it, is ladoro. But anything which pertains to the ochlin, you know, to how they perform the performance of the mitzvah, the ma'isa, so to speak, there were certain unique features in the time. For example, that they had to kochas ochlor ochlor, that they had to eat it in a state where they were mizuwana madera. So that is to say that they had to dress up and as though they were ready to leave in a hurry. If you're grabbing something, as though you'd be grabbing something quickly, you know, you're loosening something down and you're all ready to go. That's not with Arab. That was just for Pesach Mitzrayim. And as he said, the Dom Alamashko didn't do that with Doros. All of those factors were pertaining to the phenomenon of Pesach Mitzrayim. So you see that there's obviously something unique here. Also, for example, Kichos HaOshar, that they were commanded to take the animal, set aside the staff, the sheep, on the 10th day. And that was considered to be the beginning of the Geula. The beginning of the Geula, because in effect it was a renunciation of Avodah Zarah. It was, the cell was worshipped by the Mitzvah. So the fact that they, and this is part of the whole idea, to destroy the idea of idolatry, that they, the Jews, differentiated themselves, that they took that object which the others worshipped, and they set it aside to be actually slaughtered, thereby demonstrating that it was not, it had no divinity, no deer at all. So that was a big, that was a big myth for them, that they were not afraid. They were not afraid of the machine, and that they, they did the first, this was the beginning of the Geula, to separate themselves from the Avodah Zarah of Egypt. That was not Lidora. Lidora, there was no obligation to set aside the staff on the 10th day. And then you have something else, Mohayelachem the Mishnara. It says that you set it aside on the 10th day, Mohayelachem the Kishmashikvah. It should be Mishnara. It should be something that you died. Ad Abba Asa Yom. This is Pesach Mitzrayim. But they had to set it aside on the 10th day, and the mitzvah was not just to set it aside, but to guard it. The Shechitu also called the Haladah to Shechitu Ben Habayim. Then they would slaughter it on the 14th. So there was an additional mitzvah. The Shechitu also was, it had two parts of the mitzvah. One was to set it aside on the 10th day, and then it should be a mishnah. So what exactly does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Vayelachem the mishnah. Yeh lot of yukur. This is a expression of yukur. Yukur means to, literally to visit, to chalim, to visit the sick. So in here, it comes with me, it means to inspect, so to speak, to check, keep checking it. Doesn't mean visit, nothing. To come visit those newspapers wouldn't make sense, but Rashi said, do something wrong. It has to be inspected, visited, so to speak, from time to time. You have to keep checking it. Maybe the things develop a mum, a blemish. Abayam Kadim Shuta. So this process of Dika Mum was 4 days before the time of the Shkuta. It was Neymah, so what's the reason, actually? Well, why did God require this? A 4 day period, contrary to examination, before the Shkuta. Mashaloshi was came to Pesach Torah, which was not commanded in Pesach Torah. But this was not required in the future years. In the future years, you would just take the staff whenever, right, before the time you do the year. Then I, of course, expect it. But here they have two steps before this. By your Red Master Ben Kerish Omer. The Red Master Ben Kerish said, Hare you Omer, it says, the ever I lie, the ever. Now he's quoting from Nach. Which talks about, I think it's in the Kesto, correct? Okay? We really, I don't have our driver's name, we read it in Nagara, quoted in Nagara. Oh, anybody? Whenever he talks about an allegorical time, comparing the development of the Jewish people in the Messiah, that The Erev. You know, it's a building. This is a time of love. The Jewish Shrua, the time for the Shrua had arrived. From the Shbati Ra'amah, the Agar was fun out. It describes, the Jewish people like a, comparing to a fully formed young girl, beautiful, you know, all of the features, everything has reached its, proportion. It's like a beautiful, it's comparing it to a beautiful, fully developed young girl. Like an analogy to the development of the Jewish people. That was a real time attempt, so to speak. However, it was from Below Haya, the other mitzvot was Afrikan. But they didn't have in their hands mitzvot to Osir. They should be in order that they would be redeemed. Shemema, the Ash Ariel, the Elia. You were naked and bare. So it compares probably yourself with a beautiful young, fully formed girl, but naked and bare. So what does it mean, naked and bare? The Nachman will have Shem mitzvot. And gave them two mitzvot, Dan Pesach and Dan Mila. The Malu Ba'ot HaLaila. As they were equipped that night. Shemena mitzvot Pesach to Damaya. So it means referring to the Damaya, the plural. There were two bloods, the Shnei Dan. The Omer says, Dan Ad, the Dan Bukha, Shalachi Atiyacha Mibor, a Mayan Bow. And also you, with the blood of your covenant, of the covenant. I sent it to the imprisoned one from the pit in which there is no water. That's one explanation. The Shahayu Shtupim Baba Nisafam. And additionally, they were shuddered, they were shtupim, idolatry. Amar Lahan, the God said to them, Mishru Kulaka, Ko and Kei, that's you. Mishku Yudei from the Avodah Tachani, pull away your hand from idolatry, and Kehul Lachem, Tom Shom Mitzvah, and take unto you the sheep of Mitzvah. So, okay, what is the idea of this? What's the concept then? What is this idea? There's two answers, two parts to the answer. One part is more of a general. Talks about the fact that the moment had come, the time had come, and you were fully formed, but you didn't have mitzvot to be mitzvot in order to be redeemed. Now that seems to be a bit problematical in some writers and analyzers, because is that what was the promise? The promise was that the children would be strangers in a land which is not theirs, so afflict them, so forth, and then after was all removed. So they'll be removed. That was the promise. And obviously they had to go through a certain process of development. The point being that this was the situation in which they would develop into the nation that God wanted. And then they'd be taken out, and then they'd be given the mitzvot. The idea that they needed mitzvot was really strange, because the whole purpose of the Jewish Messiah given kind of the beginning of the process, you know, you have to do it over, and the culmination is Shulis, and half our Zina. So it's our Zina, they have mitzvot. But, here it's saying that, on the one hand, the time had come. They were supposed to be redeemed, but they couldn't be redeemed without being also committed. So we have to understand that. And how does that fit into the idea of being naked and bare? And then, of course, you have the second answer, which is pretty, along the same lines, and that is Mishru's crew. That they were speaking idolatry. So what are you speaking of? Well, explain the analogous example of the fully formed young girl, but naked in bed. You would have it, would you translate it? A woman naked in bed. And this sort of, so to speak, like needs clothes, the clothing. Say like this, basically, that the whole objective, the whole purpose of the situation, and trying and so forth, that the objective was the formation of the Ummah, of the nation. So that required a certain amount of time or the developmental process and so forth. So essentially, with other hand, that the time had come, that everything that was required in terms of the nation was there at the time. But there's two elements. There's two elements to the nation. There's the physical factors, whatever, I'm not going into what they constitute, but that's the analogy. That it takes time to develop different aspects in terms of the population, elements within the nation, and so on and so forth, whatever it is. So it means to say that the idea was that God was going to establish an Ummah from these 12 principles, going to be an Ummah. And once the Ummah was established, then they would receive the Torah, and God would give them the land, and so forth. The idea of naked and bare means that everything was there in terms of the physical requirements, but they were lacking in terms of their identity. In terms of their identity. That is, that the Jewish people have to have a specific type of identity. And what's their identity? The identity is that they're earthly to this person. It's a certain type of a relationship with that person. And that, you see, that would answer the question. It's not that, of course, they had the purpose of taking them out was to give them the purpose. Yeah, but and of course the whole purpose of the enslavement was to, you know, was to think about those factors that were necessary. But it was up to them to choose. It wasn't an automatic process. But if it can happen automatically without any effort on the Jews, the Jews have to choose. They have to decide. They had to define themselves. And that's exactly what the whole about the definition that they were together, you know, intermingled, assimilated with the Mithraeum. So it's true that they had developed because of the circumstance of the circumstances of the enslavement have forced them to separate themselves. And, but that was essentially they achieved a state of physical separation where they constituted a distinct entity from a physical standpoint. But the whole idea of the Tzemach was that they constituted a distinct entity from the standpoint, the metaphysical standpoint, from the definition of what the objective, the character of the nation was. That was achieved. That's the idea for Ethias Adam. That's the whole idea of Tzemach. That God separated one nation from another nation. But God distinguished, not just from the physical standpoint, but that, from the essential standpoint, that they're different. Why? Because they were oath-taking that they took upon themselves a completely new way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of relating to God, that it would be through the system of mitzvot. Mitzvot is a completely different religious phenomenon. And you see, it's based upon chachma, upon knowledge, ideas. That's why they had to have, and that's why they were, you know, they have to prepare themselves. Of course, that's why it was given to them on the 10th day. There was one mitzvah. Every mitzvah, of course, involves chachma, the application of chachma. The whole thing is mum, for example. Mum is a very abstract system. There's a lot of things to come from. Sometimes the mum is not even a physical thing. It's a certain machshav that's qualified. And so on. So, and then also, of course, the second idea is very, very important. that the essential element returns, and that's the bris. The essential idea of the bris, and it's connected with the milah, and it's connected with, I gave a shiur on that a few months ago about milah, that the oath bris, milah, is that, the Rambam says that it's creating a blemish on that organ, which is the seat of passion, that it indicates that the essence of our adam is down with him. Not the physical. The physical is really to diminish the person to conquer the physical and direct it to its proper purpose, but the real adam is the terminal attempt. And that goes together with the idea of Mishri Kud, that the essence, in terms of identity, the essence of Kal Yisrael is the enunciation of Odah. As the Rambam says in the Gemara of Rukhama, it says a few places that the higher purpose of the Torah, the system, is the Hafid idolatry. The Hafid idolatry. So that's the essence of the Jews. And at that point in time, the decision that they had to make was initial to do, to remove yourself from the and take unto yourself a town from which to live. That is to say that they weren't commanded not to be involved in sacrifice, but that whole life of the whole institution. But to redirect those motions and those energies was a different kind of a system. A system in which they were to express their religious drive into them, or to a system of mitzvah. It's a system of mitzvah, respectively. And once you're involved in the mitzvah, then you have to utilize the mind, and you have to overcome all of the various emotions that lead all people into the path of idolatry. So in my opinion, we can establish that there is something very unique about the Kar Pesach. The Kar Pesach was not just another mitzvah, but it was a defining mitzvah. It was a mitzvah which was essential, because without this mitzvah they could not be redeemed. So you can say that there was nothing there. There was just a physical phenomenon without an identity. And it was this mitzvah which gave the Jews their particular identity, and which was indeed responsible for the fact that God intervened and that God differentiated between them and the others. So, in my opinion, that might be the explanation of what the notion that was Nayan, their complaints, or if you want to call it a complaint. The idea, however, of Lama Nigara, why should we be diminished? Means to say that it's not just from the standpoint of doing another mitzvah. From the standpoint of a mitzvah, and in terms of the technical halakha system, then there's no problem. You know, if honest upon a patria, that's it. Any person can't benefit any different, so he doesn't need an alternative. That's the Rishon Hashem. That's his life in the nature. That's from the standpoint of the technical halacha. But they saw that there was a separate benefit in the in the Kar Pesach, which makes it akin, for example, to like the milah, the two go hand in hand. And just like milah is not just a performance, but it's part of establishing the very identity of the individual as an individual. So too, as a bris, so too goes hand in hand with Kar Pesach. You see the connection between the two, and you see that these are the two, the only two cases of an essay, where the negation of carries color. And that's what it means. It's so finished out. Why should we be deprived? Why should we be diminished? That is to say that they wanted to partake of the benefit of the mitzvah of the Kar Pesach. But when you're dealing with something which is identity, that's a very important thing. You have to reinforce it. Because every time that you engage in it, you're not just performing another mitzvah, but you're reinforcing the very identity. Everything flows from identity. There's a sense of who he is. It's extremely important, obviously. If we learn by the Nazir, the whole self-image of a person, that was the whole teaching of Nazir, that the whole institution of the deity is what the person was overcome by a corrupt type of self-image, of a hedonistic type of life style. And the whole objective is to transform it into a different type of a self-image. So they remove the hair completely. See the essence of the person's karma or him. So here too, in terms of being part of Klal Yisrael, this is the mission which establishes the identity of Klal Yisrael. So I think that in general would go a long way to explain why God gave an alternative for the coming of Baruch HaKosha. Because it's, as I said, it's not just another mystery as part of the system, but it's a foundational phenomenon from which the entire identity and image of the Klal emerges. Okay, so I'll do it then. Hello, anybody out there?
Yeah,
yeah. So what do you think? Anyway, what did you say? Yogi said before about the That was Gnai. Yeah. That they said there was a Gnai. Now, that supports my point. That this was not, it wasn't just the Gnai that you need to admit to. But the Gnai is part of your whole identity that is lacking. That the very performance of mitzvah is a breach in your whole identity. That's a Gnai.
But the Mila is the identity.
I'm sorry?
The Mila
is
the identity.
The Mila is one aspect of it. Kabbalah Pesach is another aspect of it. Kabbalah Pesach is another aspect of it. The Kabbalah Pesach is different than Mila. They're connected to each other. But it's a different aspect. You say, that's it. The idea of Mila is essentially the idea that Adam is a town of him. But in terms of the Kabbalah Pesach, that means the relationship to Akash Baruch Hu is the system of Hitler. The two are connected, but it's a different emphasis. That's the identity of Klal Yisrael, Hitler.
That was only specifically for Korban Pesach the first year now. The second year. No, every year.
I'm saying that that's the essential idea of Korban Pesach. That it was given in Mitzrayim, and then it was incorporated to do it every year to reinforce that. I mean, these are important things. All the ideas that it contains are very important. The ideas of God's miracles and perform with them, but why do you perform them with them? Is because of this factor that they separate themselves, that they're different. What do you need to do? It's not that it doesn't make sense to say that there's one carbon pattern from the sign, and then the carbon pattern for God is a completely different idea. It's something which has to be reenacted every year. It's extremely important. Because it has to do with something which is foundational and fundamental. That's why it's denied. If a person didn't do a mitzvah like Sukkot or whatever, if the other mitzvah is not denied, it would be God's relationship to mitzvah in general.
That seems to be...
I'm sorry, it would be like a deny. It's a concern of deny. It's because, they said about someone who's an Ariel, it's like a Kherpa. It's like a Kherpa. The whole phenomenon is like a beaver. Something lacking in the person. That's why, according to Rashi, they were denied. They didn't do it because not just that they didn't do a mitzvah. The deny was that they failed to recognize the significance of this mitzvah. And they were diminished. That's what Nigara. Nigara is diminished. You're diminished as a person. You're lacking in something as a person. The God was lacking. The ma'as of the person is connected to this mitzvah. That's what I'm trying to say. But you're reenacting that whole phenomenon. Basically, you're doing the Krabbe Tech, he reenacted that entire phenomenon. And everybody has to, it just has to be reinforced. Something like this, it needs constant reinforcement. It's not like another, there's many, many rituals, and each person has a very valuable idea. But there's not everyone, there's another idea, this idea, the other idea. But this is something which is part of your very identity. And that's something which has to be reinforced, it should be reenacted. That's what I'm suggesting.
That seems to be the general idea of the king, right?
Of what?
The king every year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, so what's the problem?
I don't hear it.
I can't hear you.
I don't think there is.
You have to do it. All right, so it's fine. All right. Anyway, all right, that's it. I guess we'll sign off. Unless there's any, there's more to do here. I just wanted to establish the abode or something like that, an approach. Which has to do, as I said, to review.
I still have one question.
Yeah, yes. What?
The question is this. The korban, so since it has to be contained like in a halakhic system, so and it has limits on who can bring it and who can't bring it, so therefore practically there's going to be situations where certain people can't bring it.
Right.
And we're saying that that this key of korban is philosophically very, very important because of the zeka to the original korban pesach, which created the identity of kol.
Right.
Now, so therefore, they created Kazakhshani, which is like a makeup, or whatever it is. I mean,
it's
of the important, because this mitzvah is so important
right.
that it demands like a kiyum.
Right.
But the problem is that death also, Kazakhshani also has to be contained on the rocket system. So therefore, even Kazakhshani, there's going to be people who still can't participate in either one. They must do it. So even if you create because of Shaney, you're not going to ensure that. So which one are you trying to satisfy?
The very point is because of Shaney, you know, sometimes the repetition in the Torah emphasizes a certain point. You know? We'll repeat the word twice to emphasize the point. You're familiar with that, right? It's a mechanism.
It didn't create two holidays to emphasize the importance. It created two so that.
Excuse me. I know the question. But then it should be possible to do it every day of the year.
That's
why it's a separate issue. I mean, once you have Torah, once you have a halakhic system, obviously God did not remove this part of Torah. And Tomei can't bring it, so he has another opportunity. I'm sorry.
That's my point.
So okay, are you asking a question?
Yes.
What's the question?
My question is that since it's a halakhic thing, obviously there's going to be people who will not be able to bring it.
Right.
Even if you have Kazakhshani.
So what?
So if the reason because of Shani is that since philosophically it's so important, so you have to give a person who has come the first time a chance to bring it.
How is that a question? No, yes, it's a double stuff. That's the thing. God was in the covenant, that would be, I'm sorry?
You say, like, well, too, you should have been able to do
it. Well, I can't get into, that's all I need to get into. Let's face it, even this was where I consider it. Because the person knows, I think the point is that it reinforces, and because of the fact that there is a separate time, then people will force to consider how important it is. That's basically the way it works. So the point is, the question is, either people will realize the importance, or they won't realize the importance. If they realize the importance, then they'll bring it. If they don't realize the importance, so then you're right. Because you're right, people don't realize the importance.
Well, maybe the guy is on a spokesman.
But it's all established in the fact. The way it's working is by doing this. And that's why Madonna and Swift are either that guy. But these people, even though they were partners from the Mitzvah, were complaining that they recognized the Giron. There's a Giron over here. There's a law. So then, by presenting an alternative opportunity, so that's enough. Now, first of all, it demonstrates how important it is, that this person must be treated differently. Secondly, once a person has that idea, so he'll guard himself to the best of his ability not to become and not to get a karma. And that's where he can go. I mean, you can't let the place affect him. You can't let the place affect him. That's it. So, in order, we're trying to use a mechanism to bring their attention to the fact that there's something unique over here. And that is by this exception. Which I don't think I have another case. I mean, another case. That's a different idea.
You're trying to do the same. You're saying is that the fact that there's two is to make a person realize the importance of this korban,
right.
And it'll be years hard to be able to bring one of them.
Yes. Exactly. And what are they can't do? They do what? Magic that you can't. And that's, it looks like the way it's going to work. The Torah is not going to give a person endless opportunities. It's the way it's supposed to be right. Hey, you did it. Don't care. The truth is no. Okay. All right, guys. Have a good challenge.
Solid.
All right, take care.